the family between the generations is to actually just start conversations and even to ask some questions. Because often we don't know much about people who are from a different generation than us other than our family. And one of the things that I've found really interesting is getting to interview both sets of people here over last week. And they're gonna actually interview each other today and in so doing tell you their story. Now, as you listen to their stories, you'll get to know a little bit about them. But I want you to understand that's not the point of this interview. Because Phil and Janice and their place over at Bader Street, they can't have all of you come to visit all the time, like, because you wouldn't quite fit. But as they share their stories today, I think what you'll discover is that there's amazing stuff that we can learn from each other. And so following this, we've got some other things that are going to help you to get to know some people here today. But by the way, this is Phil and Janice Smith, and they live over in Bader. And they have a very, very interesting story. I've just got to find some details here. And what you're going to find out just a little bit about today, because their story is quite long, because they're quite old. As are some of us. But they are not grandparents yet, but they do have two children who live here in Hamilton, and one of them is a teacher teaching drama at Fairfield College, and the other one works at Heathcote's. But they do have three grandchildren, sort of like adopted grandchildren in Korea, a couple that they've had a lot to do with, teaching English to and mentoring, who have three children who are their grandkids now. So that's pretty cool. So you're grandparents today. And this is Megan with two E's. Go, Megan. There's a story behind that. We're not telling that one today. You'll have to ask her later. Ask her later. Why has her name got two E's and that Campbell spelt it wrong in every document this week? Ask her that. But she's one of our CBC First Steps helpers upstairs with our little kids, which is cool. And she lives out at Gordonton. And the last few days, she got to hang out with her gran in Auckland. Her gran's not from Auckland, but she calls her Nana. But her and Nana got to hang out in Auckland and do movies and do an Auckland trip to see one of your newborn cousins. Is that right? Yeah, cool. So anyway, over to Megan, Phil and Janice. You guys are in charge.
So Phil and Janice, how old are you?
How old do you think we are?
75?
Sorry. I got a control stripped here. Come again?
So how old are you actually? Be honest.
Oh, use my mic. Sorry, use my mic. Yes. Okay, I'm 68. Okay. And my wife is older than me. Okay. 69.
So what does it feel like to be so old?
Well, actually, I never felt old until this meeting. I mean, you know, I'm 25 in my heart, but I mean, now I feel old. Anyway, how old are you, Megan?
I'm 13.
You're 13? Oh, yep. You look older. Mm. Well, how do you think it feels to be old like us?
Well, I don't know. I'm not old. But probably pretty lonely because all your friends die and...
Thank you, Megan. That's all encouraging.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So how did you two meet?
Oh, sorry. Okay, we met in Kabul, Afghanistan. We were both working in a Christian school there, and we actually got married there. I was teaching. Phil was a bookkeeper in the school. And there were lots of single ladies there, but only three single men. So one Bible study night, Phil came and sat next to me, and I thought, uh-oh, everybody's going to think something's going on. But right when we had sharing time, I had my Bible open at Genesis chapter 2, and I read the verse where it says, it's not good for the man to be alone, I will provide a helper for him. And right away, God told me this is who I was going to marry. And for Phil, it was a bit later on.
Yeah. So you met in Afghanistan and you were missionaries. What other countries have you lived in?
We've been to a lot of countries. Okay. Yeah, I according to the script here, yeah, which is true. Janice was, and I also, Janice was in Tasmania and in Afghanistan, which I was in Pakistan, and also I was a year in Pakistan and then Britain and America and Egypt and Yemen. We spent 5 years in Yemen and then South Korea. I taught in a Bible college in South Korea. And also I spent some time in Belgium and Iran and India. India was, anyway, yeah. So, okay.
So, yeah, I lived overseas too in Thailand from 2014 to 2010 to 2014. Mm-hmm. And so from when I was 6 to when I was 10. And my parents were missionaries running a hostel for missionary kids who often lived in countries where there wasn't good schooling. So they came to live with us so that they could go to a good school we lived nearby.
And what did you like most about your time in Thailand?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the heat. It was nice. Here it's a bit colder. And the culture of the Thai people, it's really nice, like learning the language and, yeah. And I really miss my friends and, yeah, I had a cat called Mushroom, which I brought home one day and kept feeding it without my parents knowing. And I became attached, so eventually they had to let me keep it.
And what did you least like about Thailand?
Yeah, just leaving my family and friends back here, and yeah.
And have you visited any other countries?
Oh, yes, I've been to Australia, Fiji, Cambodia, Vietnam, Singapore, India.
Wow.
So how long have you guys been married?
We've been married just over 40 years.
That's a long time.
Yes.
Yep. So what was it like when you first met? How did falling in love feel like?
Okay, for me, it was the feeling of being accepted by someone just as you are and feeling absolutely right and comfortable with Phil.
Well, don't take this wrong, but for me, I had been in OM for 2 years. OM, Operation Mobilization, anybody heard of that? Yeah, anyway, I've been with them 2 years, and I was traveling around the world and with these guys, and I was so tired of their stinkiness. And sorry, and, you know, we traveled in vans, and that was during the days of Eastern Europe, and we travel all through Eastern Europe, done naughty things and what have you. And so anyway, I was looking for a lovely country girl, and so we were 27 and 28, and in Afghanistan, you did not date. No such thing. So we... I remember the first time I looked at Janice's passport and I noticed that her birthday was a day after mine. And I said one day in my planning, I said, well, why don't we have lunch together since it's our birthdays? So one thing led to another, and we had we went and met with other places, and 3 months later we were engaged. And I'm supposed to ask you something. Let's see here. Megan, who is in your family, and what do you like about your family?
Well, yeah, so there's Andrew, my dad, and Raywin, my mom, and my brother Jordan. And I like how competitive we get when playing card games. It's always the kids are going to beat the parents. It doesn't always work out that way, though. So what's a scary thing that's happened to you while overseas?
Okay, just to mention one of them, I remember when we were in Afghanistan and we were there during the Russian invasion, and the first thing we knew was I heard this clanking coming down the street outside our house. I thought it was a tank, but it was actually an armed personnel carrier. It sounded like an old steamroller. But Phil liked to put his nose out the window or the door and take photos all the time, and I used to say to him, leave the curtains, don't put your nose out, don't put your camera out. Sometimes the neighbours would shout at him to get him back inside. And then one night there was actually a street riot, a demonstration, and Phil thought he'd look out the back door to see what was going on. Suddenly, and they were marching along shouting and firing shots in the air, suddenly as Phil was looking out, a shot went right past his ear, so he shot back inside very fast.
And, well, when I was in Yemen, during the one of the wars, which war was it? Iraqi war?
Gulf War.
Yeah, during the Gulf War, I was the Mudir al-Idara. That's the director of administration. Anyway, my job was to get everybody out of the country, and it was fast, and it was pretty straight. And then straining, and anyway, across the street, one of the neighbors put this big sign up, death to all Americans. And of course, it was facing our house. Death to all Americans, and Americans go home. And then my colleague who worked with me, he was a Yemeni also, but he lived in the States, and you know, we related together quite well. And before that, he was saying, I don't know why everybody's getting so upset. But the day after that, he came to our house. Philip, don't you go out there. There are people who will kill you. And I had to do the job. So I dressed up as an Egyptian. A lot of Egyptians in Yemen at that time. And I looked like Egyptian, by the way. And also, I speak Egyptian Arabic. That's how I got around. And it was about a week doing that. And then we left also. Yeah.
You've got a question.
Okay, I have a question here. Sorry. What about you, Megan? Or Megan? Sorry, Megan. Any scary or weird experiences in Thailand or other places?
Well, yeah, there was this one time when I thought that my mom wasn't coming home and she got lost or something. Because it was Christmas morning and we were waiting for her to come back from New Zealand. And slowly it ticked over to lunchtime and then the afternoon. And then finally she came home with our presents and stuff, which was pretty cool. But she was late, and it turned out she had missed her flight. One flight didn't exist. She'd lost her bag, was running all over the airport, and yeah, she had a terrible time. So Phil and Janice, tell me about you coming to know Jesus.
Well, I was in the U.S. Navy for 4 years, and I came to a point that I was pretty sick of my life, and so fortunately I had a chaplain on the ship, and it was a very big ship I was on, over 2,500 personnel. Anyway, I went to the chaplain, and he was a very dear Christian fellow. And I told him, I says, I want to know, you know, here's my life, and I want to be better. And so he gives me the Bible. He says, start at this place, Matthew, and read the New Testament. Then you come back to me. Well, I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And within that, reading that, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And I realized that Jesus loved me, and realized that Jesus had much, much more for me. And especially, and interestingly, in Romans it says, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Of course, I had no one, I didn't ask the chaplain what I should do or anything like that. So instead, I says, well, I need to confess my faith in Jesus before the ship. And that's 2,500 people. And so I arranged the meeting on Sunday and to have my testimony before the ship people. Well, all 2,500 people weren't there because the room wasn't big enough. But anyway, it was like a marriage. And the chaplain says, do you accept Jesus as your Savior? And I says, yes. And he had me to speak about why I wanted Jesus as my Savior. And after the meeting, all these other Christians came up to me in the meeting and says, hey, Phil, I'm a Christian too. And it was about 25 or 30 people. And I had no idea that there were other Christians on the ship.
So my story is a bit different. I always went to church. In fact, Mum would have taken me in my pram to my first missionary meetings. But and she taught me how to pray and all those things. But it didn't mean a lot. I just did it because I knew it was a good thing to do. And then when I was about 10, Billy Graham came to New Zealand and Mum took me along. And as I listened to him speak, I can still remember he said something about you've got a throne in your life and either you're sitting on it or Jesus is sitting on it. And it was a really nice, simple concept for a simple 10-year-old to understand. And I realised right away I was in charge of my life, not Jesus. So when Mum said to me, oh, do you, either of you girls, my sister and I, want to go forward? I said, yes, I do. And I accepted the Lord into my life that night. When I went home that night, I went to say my prayers again. And all of a sudden, I realised someone is listening. It's not just me talking. Someone's actually on the other end listening. So what about you, Megan? Tell us about you believing in Jesus. How did that happen?
Yeah. So I was about 8 years old and I was still in Thailand, sitting on my bed in my room, and my dad was with me, and I just decided that my faith needed to become my own and just not my parents, and yeah.
That's great, praise the Lord. Now we're changing a little bit. do you have any kind of a job, Megan?
I'm a lawyer.
Really? Tell us about that.
No, actually, I go to school.
What's your favourite thing to do apart from pulling people's legs?
Well, yeah, I like to play board games and card games. Yeah, Ticket to Ride's my favourite. You might not know it. Yeah. So what do you two do for your jobs, or are you too old to work now?
That's good. Yeah. She's funny, isn't she? No, let me tell you, this is a bit off script here, but it was in Bible College 1970-something, 72 or whatever, I went to a conference in Macon, Georgia. It was a denominational conference, and it was there that I committed myself to missionary work. And all through my life, and even now, I consider myself a missionary. So right now, I work with an online seminary. And I do things like transcription work, probably the only scribe on earth. And then I write training manuals, and we provide free online Bible studies. And I have my card here. And if anybody is interested in my card, they don't, anyway, you can have one. I think I've said everything. There you go.
So I've been teaching kids most of my life since I was 19. And I've been a primary school teacher at South City Christian School. In fact, looking out, I can see a couple of people I've taught. Right now, though, I've retired. And I just teach 8 hours a week. It's a combination of classroom and individual teaching. So sometimes people ask the question, what would you do if you were the Queen or Prime Minister? So Megan, what would you change around here at CBC if you were the senior pastor?
Well, I'd start with free food on Sundays and some T-shirts that Katie Kelson and I designed. We'd get those for the leaders helping with the younger kids. And also would go on mission trips to like India and Africa. And of course, I have to be on them. I'm the senior pastor. Yeah. So I'm not going to make you senior pastor today, but please tell me what you like and don't like about CBC.
Okay. I do love the way that CBC is the size it is. It's big enough that there's lots of people, but it's also not so huge that even older people can find things to do to help out. And I also love the way I also love the outreach to former refugees. That's one of the reasons why we've made CBC our church home. I really enjoy the music, but sometimes old ears don't like some of the pitch. Just old ears, and only occasionally.
Let's see here. Well, first of all, I'll do the positive. I really think CBC is an incredible friendly church, and I really want to stress that. And I do like the Bible teaching. But what I don't like is these things that we're doing right now. And so, I would prefer more Bible teaching. And so let me see, okay.
What? So, yeah, now that you are older, what do you miss about those younger days?
Good health. First of all, my health started going down when I caught what they call cerebral malaria in India all those years ago. And that's been a struggle in my life. And then, more recently, I have diabetes. I'm diabetic. And so I really miss the chocolate ice cream. I really miss the KFC, and especially the hot and spicy stuff. And the hamburgers and all like that. And now I eat these vegetables and these low-carb dinners that my lovely wife fixed for me. But that's one of the problems.
So I guess the thing I miss is not teaching my own class all day in school. But the thing I don't miss is having to get up early. It's nice getting up a bit later and just having a day like that.
So, Megan, we seem to be very old to you, hey? and you are very young to us. So what are you looking forward to about getting older?
Well, yeah, just the freedom to travel and have as many pets as I want. Yeah. Because my mom won't let me have a cat or a rat, but yeah. So what's one piece of advice that you would give to a young person like me about life?
Okay, I think what I would be thinking is give your life into the Lord's hands and ask him to make his plans your dreams, and then you discover that where he takes you will be the best, the most exciting, and the safest place for you.
And I would say, give yourself to the ways of the Lord. Study the Word, and the more you study the Word, the more God will reveal Himself to you. That's what I would say. And Megan, what advice would you give us older people?
Yeah, good question. So just because you're old doesn't mean you need to, like, slow your life down. You can still go as hard as you can. And for God, yeah.
Cool.